You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warn you.
We made it alive to WonderCon, our first WonderCon.
Yeah.
2019. Mikey B.
Mikey B.
Freddie M. Andy H.
Ah. I prefer to pronounce the H.
Pronounce it. So, I'd say today was a success.
We've been up for like 18 hours right at this point.
Is that what it is?
We've been running for, that's pretty close, Andy. That's about right. And we're finally ready to unwind and relax, but we wanted to get this out to you so you could enjoy it with us.
Don't make it out like we're ungrateful. We are very grateful, but we're also tired.
Make sure you're following us on Instagram. That's Night of the Living Podcast, all spelled out. Andy's been taking a lot of great pictures there. The visuals pair very well with the audio that we have. Thank you so much to our patrons at patreon.com/NOTLP for making this possible. Yeah.
Ooh, what wine pairs with this picture?
Picture of pair.
But this is only possible because of our legion of demons over there at Patreon. So thank you so much for your support. Up first here, we hope you enjoy our interview with Jeff Anison of Legion M, which is this really cool company that you're about to hear all about. So I won't spoil it. Enjoy the interview. Freddie Morris at WonderCon with Jeff Anison, the president of Legion M, which is this coolest thing. It's like, you know, you hear about crowdfunding and people kickstarting and Patreon and everything else. We're on Patreon for that matter. But this is like something different that you guys do. It's almost, it's a fan-run production house for a number of different types of, I would call them like geek products, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's like we love crowdfunding and Kickstarter and Patreon and that sort of thing, and this is just crowdfunding taken to 11, because you're not donating in exchange for insider access, right? You are investing to become a part owner of the company. And so as a shareholder, you get insider access. And, you know, we're a entertainment company. We produce film, television, virtual reality. Some of them are our own in-house projects that we develop from scratch. We've got one on Kickstarter right now. Others are big name projects that we invest in. So we invested in Mandy, for example, with Nicolas Cage, which was fantastic. Esquire's best movie of 2018. Colossal with Anne Hathaway. We just announced that we invested in the Jay and Silent Bob reboot that Kevin Smith is doing. And we're partnering with Fox on the Tolkien movie that's coming out soon. And so it's a way for fans to not just support, but to literally be a part of the entertainment industry and to own a piece of it, which I think is very exciting.
It's really neat. And like, is this something like somebody, if they wanted to go and say invest in the production of the new Jay and Silent Bob movie, is this something you don't, do you go to your stockbroker and say, I need X number of shares of Legion M, or what?
No, we're using the Jobs Act, which is a brand new sector of legislation that was just put into law about 3 years ago. We were one of the very first companies to take advantage of it. And what it did was, for the first time, allowed equity crowdfunding. So prior to that, Kickstarter and Indiegogo, the reason that they were rewards-based, right, you could back a project, and in exchange you would get, you know, your name in the credits and a pre-sale of it or something like that. But they weren't allowed to offer equity because it wasn't possible under securities law. Oh. And they changed that, and we were one of the very first ones to do it. So we are regulated by the SEC, everything that we do. There's audited financial statements published online. They do bad actor checks, and there's a lot of due diligence that you can do. It's, you know.
Right. And when he says bad actor checks, he doesn't mean like the talent in his movies.
Yeah. It's funny. I was going to drop a couple names, but now that I'm in the industry, you can't do that because you're going to run into them.
You got to be nice. I was really excited by, you mentioned the Kickstarter project, The Girl With No Name.
Yes.
Which, I'm a huge Westerns fan. I love spaghetti Westerns and the old Clint Eastwood story. So, like, what I've seen of what the artist has released so far, it's just got this great look, and I can't wait to see what you guys are going to do with it, but tell me more about that.
Yeah, so it's an exciting film. That's one of the ones that we have internally that we're developing ourselves. And we partnered with the screenwriter and the director and the producer, and it started as a movie project. Let's turn this into a movie. The script actually won Slamdance, the Slamdance film competition, which is kind of like, that's the AAA league for Sundance, a few years ago. So it's an amazing script. And but the director, her vision for it, what got us really excited, is that it's a Western, like you said. You could imagine a storyline kind of like True Grit, right? But with a protagonist that's more like Katniss Everdeen. So it's this really badass female young woman, you know, lead for it. And visually, what the director wants is something that's highly stylized. Think of like 300 or maybe even Sin City on like the far extreme. But something that's like not like an old spaghetti Western, but like a modern day action adventure that just happens to be set in the Old West. And so it's, we talked with them and we're like, well, why don't we release it as a comic book first? And what that does is it does two things. First of all, it allows us to build traction for the property. If we go to a studio and you've got a script and talent, that's one thing. But if you can also say, and we have a fan base, which we can demonstrate by the fact that we've sold this many comics and people, you know, this is the buzz that it's generating, it can help you sell the project. But the other part of it that's really cool is that what better medium to flesh out a highly visualized style than comic books?
Yeah.
And what's wonderful about Kickstarter is that it allows people to come into the process. And if you think of the comic book as like a little bit like a storyboard for this one segment of the movie, we can share that with a wide audience and get their feedback. So one of the things, when you back the Kickstarter, you're buying the first edition comic book that, you know, hopefully will go on to become a franchise.
With variant covers too.
Yeah, with that, variant covers. Yeah, that we intentionally did to get, that's a way of us getting feedback. Here's three very different styles from two different artists. What do people like? What resonates with them? And so the one that gets chosen the most is going to become the standard cover for the comic book going forward. The other two will be Kickstarter limited editions that were only produced that once. And so it's kind of a fun thing. But like I said, it's really, the whole project is about bringing fans into the process, letting them be a part of it. We're going to be doing online development meetings with the director where you can share your feedback. We can talk about what works and doesn't work. They want to hear casting suggestions.
Right.
Like, who should these characters be? And so it's our first Kickstarter. It's a little bit of an experiment for us, but so far we love it. And we love anything that allows us to connect directly with the fans, give them agency over what we're doing.
And the fans love that. I think that that's why you see so much success with crowdfunding.
Yeah.
But what you're describing is really exciting because, like you said, it's actual ownership in what you're making.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And we tell people, like, we're a startup company, so we tell anybody, there's actually a video that says, please watch this before investing. And we'll tell you straight up, if you invest in Legion M, the most likely outcome is that you will lose your entire investment. That's the facts of life, right?
Yeah.
That's just as true for us as it was for Mark Zuckerberg when he was a college dropout launching a social network, or for Walt Disney back when he started off as a guy making cartoons with a mouse. And so the thing is, most startups fail, but if you are lucky enough or smart enough to get involved with one that succeeds, they can go on and change the world. And to be able to be an early investor in one of those companies financially is huge. Emotionally, it's huge. Like, it's just a cool to be a part of, you know, what we consider to be a community and a movement just as much as it is a company.
Yeah, and also you're screening Tolkien this weekend, right?
Yes. So we announced a partnership with Fox Searchlight. Tolkien's coming out. Are you a Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Books, movies?
I like the movies more than the books, honestly.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. Which one did you experience first?
Actually, I was a big fan of The Hobbit as a kid.
Yes.
And then coming into the movies were just, I just thought they were so exciting when they came out. I just loved them.
Well, I'm a huge fan and more of the books than the movies. Although Peter Jackson did an amazing job. Yeah. It's just, it's so hard because, you know, even if the movie would have to be 20 hours long for each book in order to capture all of the... This is a biopic about, inspired by the events of J.R.R. Tolkien's early life, the formative years fighting in World War I and the camaraderie and fellowship of his friends in school that led to the writing of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And it's an amazing film. And so we've got a free screening tomorrow night for people who are at WonderCon. And the movie comes out on May 10th. It's going to release all over the country. So it'll be a pretty big release. And Legion M is working to coordinate meetups around the country where you can come out and get a limited edition gift. And we haven't announced what that's going to be. There's also some other cool perks that we're going to have that we haven't announced. But it's a really fun way for fans to be a part of this film.
That's great. I love it. I love everything you guys are doing. This is cool.
Thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to joining the Legion.
Yes. Well, it's 100% free to join the Legion.
Yeah.
As you said, we're only open for investments during certain times. We call them rounds, investment rounds. And like I said, everything we do is regulated by the SEC. We just got approval on our latest filing, actually, this morning. And so we'll have a round open soon. We don't have a round open now, but at any time you can join Legion M. You can join as a free member. It doesn't cost anything. You're going to get our emails, but that's it. And you know, then you can follow on. You can see for yourself what Legion M is about. You can still, as a member, participate in probably about 95% of the stuff that we do. And if you ever decide that you want to take the plunge for as little as $100, you can invest and own a piece of what'll hopefully be the next big thing.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you so much, Jeff Anderson.
Thank you for having me.
Legion M.
All right.
So this next segment is an opportunity we got to interview with the next Elvira, April Wallin.
She was really nice. I liked her.
She was very nice.
She was really fun. And
her husband's from Cincinnati.
Yeah, so it's like a small world thing. We thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, here's Mikey B's interview with April Wallin, the next Elvira, and a fantasy author to boot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, the next Elvira, tell us, what does that mean? The next Elvira, are you the next?
Well, I still technically hold the title of the next Elvira. She's still doing it, so
it's not
really necessarily a need for an next Elvira, but I'm here if she needs
you're
me.
You're on deck. You're ready.
I did a couple events with her, and then she's running around doing her thing with her pop, you know, little Funko things.
Yes, I saw those. Those are great.
Yeah, and I'm doing my books and
tell us about your books.
Yes, I'm a fantasy writer, so I have two books out. One is 13 Offerings.
Okay.
It is a anthology novel with about 13 stories in it. It's got stories of Medusa and the Gingerbread Witch from Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
I got pirates. I got all sorts of crazy good stuff in there. And then my second novel that I just came out, my first full-length novel, Pandora Syndrome. That book is about a vampire necromancer. She just basically wants to play video games and hang out and just kind of not be, you know, a stalking, you know, denizen of the night. But a fellow necromancer is trying to kill her. So
this sounds like a little bit of a nerdy kind of witch.
A little bit. Nerdy vampire necromancer.
So you're at a con. I looked a little bit at your bio. I see that you're a volunteer for San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah,
so what's
WonderCon
life? WonderCon as well. all awesome. Yeah. So what's con life mean to the next Elvira?
It's exhausting.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. I get to talk to a lot of people. I get to help the convention go on.
Yeah.
I've been doing it since I was like 16.
Really?
So yeah, now I just like, I don't even think twice. I'm just like, oh, of course I'm going to go volunteer for Comic-Con. Luckily they give me a day or two here and there where I can pursue my Elvira writing-ness.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So what is it about the cons? Like, what's your nerd things that you really get into? Obviously writing.
Yeah.
Fantasy.
I do love the superheroes. I do. Okay. I grew up with, Batman, X-Men. They were always my favorite.
Okay.
So I was constantly trying to dress up as them as a kid.
That's awesome.
My mother couldn't sew for anything, so that was a bummer. But, I love any of the fantasy genres. I'm a big fairy tale nerd, so I work that into my worlds a lot.
Gotcha.
I'm pretty bi fandom.
Okay. Lots of different interests.
Yes.
So the horror genre. So Elvira, obviously, long history with the horror. So where any connection with that, or more the fantasy, or grew up watching the movies?
I grew up watching horror movies.
Okay.
Actually, my mom and I used to watch Tales from the Crypt and Hitchhiker
all
the time. So I have a special place in my heart for Crypty.
Yeah.
And I also love Army of Darkness is probably my favorite movie ever.
Good.
I know everybody's like Evil Dead 2. I love Army of Darkness because it's kitschy, it's funny, it's ridiculous.
Right.
I love Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
It's just one of my favorites.
That's fantastic. So kitschy and fun. That's Elvira's spirit right there.
Yeah. And I used to work with Troma too. So
fun.
I traveled with them on like the Warped Tour.
Yeah.
Crazy days.
I bet. So anything else that you can think of that you'd like for our listeners, horror film podcasts, to know about the next Elvira or any of the other works that you're doing?
I believe I will be doing another signing at Comic-Con.
Okay, great.
Probably with Nuclear Blast, I hope. Fingers crossed.
Awesome.
And my books are available pretty much anywhere you can find books. Amazon.
Okay.
I'm going to be getting the next book out, I hope, this year. We'll see.
Awesome.
Depending on editing. But this Pandora Syndrome is part of a three-book arc.
Okay.
So there's definitely more coming. And it's part of a 21-book series.
Oh, wow.
So, which also includes 13 offerings.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And where can we find you?
You can find me at AprilWallene.com or on any social media at AprilWallene.
Fantastic. Well, this is Mikey B with the NOTLP Podcast. Thank you, April, for her time today. The next Elvira. This was great.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you.
So something really exciting that got to happen is a friend of the show, Gray Drake, who is taking off as the Movie Phone.
She's Ms. Movie Phone
now.
She's
Ms. Movie Phone. This just got announced. Ms. Movie Phone, it was actually moderating the...
It's Ms. Movie Phone if you're nasty.
The Dark Phoenix panel. And I know Andy has a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, congratulations to Gray. And I'm really glad that she got this opportunity to moderate the panel. But it was, the cast was really cool.
Yes.
And we got to see some exclusive clips.
Which we'll talk about the clips when we get to that portion. And we'll kind of discuss like what we thought of each clip when we get there. So stay tuned for that.
But listeners, pay attention to a master moderator make something very, very interesting. And that's Gray Drake.
Gray is so much fun.
She's so
fun. Should moderate every panel at every convention.
Agreed.
Anywhere. So, all right, cool. We'll be right back after this first portion of the Dark Phoenix panel. This is some cool stuff. Keep your ears open, y'all. The audio is a little... It's recorded in an arena, so on a phone, so bear with the audio because the content's great.
And with that, it is my pleasure to introduce the moderator of this panel, Ms. Movie Phone, Ray Drake.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here today at the 20th Century Fox panel for this much-awaited movie that's going to be coming in June 7th. Now, just a quick personal note. Oh, no, wait. Hold on a second. Who out there got their amazing posters? Yes! Okay, so make sure that you're part of a social media conversation. Post those bad boys up because you need to make everyone else super jealous. Okay, I've already done it and I've gotten a lot of angry DMs. It feels so good. So now my personal note, because I am such a huge fan of WonderCon. I've done so much work with these folks that made this movie we're about to talk about. And it's really special because I just got this new job announced as a Disney movie bomb. Right? Thank you! Well, so here's the thing. Like, I've used that service forever. It really meant a lot to me as a tiny movie nerd when I saw the very first movie in this series. Like, it was like, and so I feel like I've been waiting nearly my entire life to introduce this panel to you in this exact way. So for those of you who are familiar with the movie called Legacy, you're going to know what I'm about to do. But for the rest of you, you're going to get a preview of what's to come because I'm going to be everywhere super annoying you all the time. You ready?
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to WonderCon. You have selected Dark Phoenix. Dang, that felt good, y'all. Thank you so much for indulging me, and now keep that applause going because I'm going to start welcoming our panel today with, first of all, our director, Simon Kinberg.
Candidly, in the early days of
Freedom of Magnetic 3, there was still a little bit of caution about how willing the audience would be to embrace what I would call a more authentic approach to governance. And something I struggled with as an executive at Fox, trying to get certain movies made. And then I think in the last couple of years, me, Logan, and this film, you know, did something different, which is dig into these characters and these issues in ways that we hadn't before. And that's something I love about comics in general, is the degree which they promise such incredible stories. You know, the underlying material is just so good. And frankly, I think it's better than we've been as storytellers in some cases. And this is a film that I think aspires to try to really tackle all of the potential of that while honoring the legacy and the characters and our wonderful cast. I think Sonic has done a pretty massive job at doing that, which we're going to share a lot with you today.
So the first clip they showed, that's what you just heard. Like, we can't actually, we're not actually playing the audio from the clip.
We're not allowed.
We're not allowed to record those portions, but...
Yeah, we got sternly worded looks.
Looks, sternly worded looks.
You know.
We're tired,
There were people in suits walking around making sure people don't record stuff.
It was like the Secret Service.
Yes.
So this first clip was the X-Men going into space. Which was pretty cool.
X-Men and space.
This is actually the most true part to the comics. Because this is when the Phoenix entity actually becomes one with Jean.
Yeah, I like this sequence a lot. I'm not like a big X-Men fan of the comics. So like the Dark Phoenix saga was not something I was super familiar with before Andy and Jason Cretton from Night of the Comic and Whorehound Radio. These two guys, they know it.
They know the
Andy has a Dark Phoenix tattoo, so that's like how hardcore he is into it. Whereas I'm just like, neat, they're in space.
Yes, it is neat, but like, I don't want to like crap on the movie before it's out, but you can't do Dark Phoenix in one movie.
All right, Andy. I gotta say, this sequence was awesome though, because they did give each X-Man something to do.
Yeah.
And it was pretty great. And also, there's a great line at the end of the sequence where Mystique, played by Jennifer Lawrence, goes into Charles Xavier's office and is like, seems like the women keep saving the men on this team. Maybe you should think about calling it the X-Women.
Yeah.
And it got a big reaction from the crowd.
Big round of applause from the...
It was a really well-delivered
moment,
too. I feel like it seems like Professor X is a little bit of a... He's a little beaten up in this movie. Like, he's not necessarily making the best judgment calls.
Yeah.
And it's probably a low point for that character as far as, like, you know, him having the confidence of running the team the right way. So I think that's kind of an interesting take on it.
It's
a little different than the other ones. Yep. And I love this. I love Days of Future Past and
First Class.
I haven't seen the other one yet. Anyways.
We're basic.
I'm real way behind. So anyways, here is the rest of the Dark Phoenix panel. And then they will set up another clip at the end of this segment too, and we'll talk about that when we return.
You'd be surprised, but the biggest practical joker on this
in this cast is Jessica Chastain.
What?
Serious, Oscar nominated, like Juilliard. Jessica Chastain is immense. She's an absolute dangerous menace. Don't allow her around your children. She's bad news. And one of the practical jokes she played was on, and Sophie was, and someone will accomplish this, was on Mr. McAvoy, who's a very good target as a practical joke. And the joke was the scene in the movie where his character's on wires, as you guys know, to get people to fly or move in particular ways that are natural for them, and then we take out the wires and dance him. So he's on wires, and the wires are being held by usually people from this team who are manipulating that person's body in the way they want it to move. And on the last take, after we got the take, Jessica, and I guess I was going to do something about it, Jessica got the guys she got our sound crew to start playing a song Macarena and dance James' body around like a puppet doing a Macarena on the wires. So that would be, I guess, my memory for making this movie.
I like that. Are there any new parents that come up with you guys down there? That's the one thing I hear about this cast all the time. It's like, so close. People, when the cut was called and when the date was called, you guys didn't even go home right away. Like, they kind of hung out with each other. Nicholas, was that the case? Were you hanging with everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. You know what? We actually ran in a lot of pranks and, like, we still had a lot of fun. At the same time, this movie, like Simon was saying, focuses so much on the emotions of these characters and everything. Everyone had a lot work-wise to focus on with their characters, so everyone was a lot more focused. I'm trying to think of the practice play. It's like the game. There's this game. Oh, yeah. Right. It's really good. That's been ongoing for like years to be so much of all that work of the airsoft cargo.
Can you talk about that too? Because I mean, just what's really interesting about just Cyclops costumes is that your eyes are covered. So that's one of your main ways to broadcast what's going on. But there was a shot in that last book that we saw where you thought she was calm, right? And I felt that for you. So can you talk about that challenge? Because this is sort of new for Cyclops.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's like, it's kind of like when Judge Dredd, like, you can't see
your
face, but you're getting emotions.
It's just stuff. Yeah, it's like an eyebrow, actually. So I just sit in the mirror and, no, it's, you know what, this movie is really fun. We've all been saying in some of our interviews earlier that it's fun. Because these movies kind of, they jump from, you know, decade to decade, so a lot happens over the course of 10 years. And so you get to explore these characters in different chapters that I love. And so in this chapter, you know, Jean Grey starts to kind of wrestle with this dark force, and it kind of splits the entire team up into two groups. And one who feels that she's still the same person and they save her, and the other feels that she's maybe a little too dangerous. So, there's some really interesting complex character dynamics, and yeah, I would say the visors, like, you know, could be difficult, but then you have like Cody and Nick, who have to wear blue makeup all day long, and prosthetics on their hands, like someone has to feed them their banana.
I was totally
going to
ask about that, legitimately, because in this movie, I was like, there's a close-up of the beast, and I was like, oh my god, how does he lunch?
Quite slowly, and I need a little blue hat.
Ooh.
Yeah,
wow, that really paints a picture, doesn't it? You're kind of like one of the vets of this thing. You're like a utility, I think, where, because we always come to the beast, and he's such a grounding force, right?
Yeah, I mean, the fun thing about this movie is you've seen him all of the possibilities from one of the shooters wrestling with his identity. And then now being, you know, one of the leaders of the X-Men, but then also stepping away from Charles because of what happens in this film, and kind of finding his own resolve and approach to the issue that takes place in this film. So we kind of get to see a new side of his emotion in this film, which is what was such a pleasure to play. And luckily, yes, Simon gave the chance to do that.
Was there a moment during this movie
in
particular where you were like, I just nailed it? you're too busy talking on verbals, like, everywhere.
I think that would be the wrong thing if you did to get
again. Understood. The fact.
It's actually not true. After every take that he does, it's like... it's on his breath, but everyone
can hear. Yeah, we can hear you, Nick. Alexandra, I am always so pumped to see what Storm is going to do. Always. Woo! Let's keep the vibe of this conversation going, because in this movie, you face new challenges, and I felt physically, I was watching you and I was like, ooh, like, just wait.
You got like, yeah, and like, yeah, Storm, like, she's totally used to it, but Alex is losing her mind. It was so much fun. It was really fun being able to do all the stunts and do like more hand-to-hand combat, and you really kind of get to see Storm really exude more power, and it's really fun.
When I'm looking at these clips as a non-actor, I take myself out of it for a second and I think about how you guys can't see any of the stuff that we see when you're shooting it. Because I mean, so much of your power is CG and it's added and stuff. Do you, like, real talk, do you ever stand in the mirror and practice all your cool superhero stuff?
That's the only way you can do it, yeah.
Yes!
The only way you can do it, but it's actually really good to have fun. Like, you're like, yeah, that was it, but nothing?
In the movie, it's like bam, he goes away, shows up somewhere else, but when it's Kurt, when it's me, I mean, bam, I just toddle off and run off.
Nightcrawler is such an important part of the team, and that's something that really comes across in this movie, is how needed everyone is, and how everybody's such a functional part. But now that you say that, it actually occurs to me that his usefulness is essentially like him hugging people.
Yeah, he just likes to
get a touch.
I think it's
humorous. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, adults don't touch each other. Yeah, I know that sounds really weird, but like adults, we don't touch each other. You touch kids, right. You don't touch adults. It's a beautiful power.
Yeah,
thank
you.
It is. I love it.
Which was the more innocent, wide-eyed, vulnerable Nightcrawler that we love, and you know, comedic relief at points. But in this one, he definitely kind of starts there, but I had an opportunity to portray that more vicious, savage archetype in him that is a culmination and a product of his frustration building up to not being able to know how to fix the internal struggles and the crisis that they were going through as a team, as a family. So ultimately, crushed inside of him, and that's where we see it kind of connected with, I would say, Alan Cummings' portrayal of a character which is very demonic and quite aggressive.
Yeah, this is really a different side. There's so much conflict. You can really feel that in the film. Now, speaking of the conflict, the bravado of Quicksilver is like one of my favorite things. Yeah, I know that. Just like that, even that quick moment in the middle of just like this, to a premiere in summer. Yeah, like that's our boy. One of the things that I associate with your character are these amazing sequences with great music. And so I wanted to ask you just like, personally, is there a song that like really resonates with you that you would set your own personal slow-mo sequence to?
Yes.
And then you have to get really close to the mic.
Yes.
There you go. I'm going to crack that open on you, brother.
Do you guys know that song at the end of the Mortal Kombat? The ghosts are coming up? No?
Yes.
Well, who are you singing it for?
Yes, would you?
Neighborhood in which she was raised, it's a street of suburban houses.
And in a normal thing, you would probably find a street of suburban houses in Montreal, which is a movie. But there's that one room, and there's some stuff that happens there that you couldn't do a street of suburban houses without relying entirely on visual effects, because you could destroy some houses. And instead of using visual effects and going to a location, we build a city block of suburban houses in the back lot of the parking lot where we shot. So all of those houses that look very real are very real on the outside and have nothing on the inside. That was really cool to me. And I think the other one probably, and you're going to see this coming up, so I don't want to ruin it for you, but there's a sequence in New York City, and we built a few blocks of Fifth Avenue. And that's what you're going to see. That was cool.
Amazing. On the flip side, so that was just some cool stuff that was practical, and Sophie, I would like for you to tell us in great detail one of the things that I'm always looking for when I'm watching like superhero movies, like what is cool that is going on that I secretly want to be able to do, and something that I've noticed a lot with Phoenix, and something starting to mark with this, that her hair kind of
they're on all fours and they can like mimic the very first couple of thoughts and amazing. And then they're like, hey, can you just finish off the quarter run into the scene? I'm not built to be able to do that. So it ends up me kind of crawling. And then they're like popping up into the frame. And they're like, and then carrying on with the scene. So of course, it's very embarrassing after that.
And, you know, when every scene is over, when you pop into the scene, what do you say?
Okay, I really like this other clip they showed too, so I guess I'm just a Rube Andy, but I thought it was pretty cool because Magneto brings, it's like a New York scene,
yeah,
and Magneto brings the subway train up from underground as a, and uses it as a weapon. I thought that was pretty neat.
It was pretty neat.
And, well, it was even better because the director said it was practical effects. A lot of it was...
The train was real.
Yeah.
Which I was like, what? Is
this and the part some parts almost went wrong, so this was exciting that they... don't rely entirely on CGI.
Right.
So this was cool that they're going back to old-fashioned movie making.
Yeah. Half a foot from killing Michael Fassbender.
That's right. They just said bricks were falling around him and everything.
Real
and
bricks.
Real bricks.
Yeah.
Real bricks.
Yeah, this is probably as much as we can say about this scene because there's heavy, heavy spoilers.
Yeah.
In this scene.
There is a lot of spoilers in this scene. But I'm on board. I'm definitely going to buy a ticket to see it because it just looks like a whole lot of fun to me.
Yeah.
Anyways, here's the rest of the panel.
Well, the thing that I think most people would not expect to be practical, and it was, is that train that comes crashing through the wall behind Michael Fassbender and Magneto was real.
What?
Yeah, we got a train car, and our special effects, not visual effects, our practical effects unit built a rig that could send that train car at, I don't know what, 20 miles an hour or something behind him, and we built a wall that would get destroyed. Michael just had to walk through there and not flinch. And the thing that was crazy that happened is obviously you get one shot at that because you're not rebuilding the wall and all that. We had a bunch of cameras shooting it. But when we prepared it and all the rehearsals we did to make sure it was obviously safe for Michael, it stopped like 10 feet or so behind him. But on the day, for whatever reason, when we actually filmed it, it stopped about half a foot behind him. And that thing that comes crashing from the behind him and falls down like those bricks are real. They're in the set. And only Michael Fassbender, with love and respect to every other actor on this panel, including myself, and no other actor in the world, would not even blink when a subway car comes to about 6 inches hitting you. And bricks are falling behind your head. Michael just stood there, ready to take it. So that was real.
Wow.
And scary for for everybody except for Michael.
Somebody out there is clapping because they're like, cross underneath and taking down a character.
Good luck.
Hush, Tom, and Eric, when you have your boosters hat on, are you hearing that story and being like, what?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, to do that practically was something that we really did. Partly because it's risky, partly because you can't do it again. Right? So generally speaking, you don't want to be running a movie, you can only do once. The odds of you running a movie, hopefully, are pretty slim. We really did have, I think, one of the best special effects or practical effects guys around, and he's done a couple of movies with us, and always delivers. Always delivers. He's like, no, no, I got this. I'm looking at the set, we're looking at the moldings, all this, all gonna come down, that's it. You can't go back. It's like, no, 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 I got this, it's gonna work, it's gonna be great. So we're kind of set up there, we're all watching the video tape, kind of the way you guys are, and perfect.
Yeah, you should ask Sophie about the sequence that Sophie's in, not that particular one. That one, to just sit there at the end back of you. But the master about the scene where she's controlling a helicopter that was actually also practical and real and very close to telling everybody.
What? It was a lot of fun.
It
was a real helicopter. It's spinning around, it's ready to go. And like, we literally did it with all of the cast, all of the crew, all of the extras, they were all there.
Over and starts like flipping shit out of the air and grass and everything.
It was amazing. It was terrifying. It was amazing. And no one's
heard of
making this film.
I can continue to stress that because
the
general theme
out of
the air, I would love.
Understood. Yeah. Miracles do happen. Everybody's completely safe. Here they are. The movie comes out of the set up. It's kind of great. And then as we wrap up, I just need to know from my own set of does Michael Fassbender ever wear the Magneto helmet, like, just for funsies? Like, after a game's over or something?
Yeah.
Who wants to take
care of it at the moment?
That's exactly the detail that I was looking for. Thank you. Okay, so, as we wrap up, there's one more piece of business that we have to do. Everyone out there with an iPhone needs to take it out, turn your AirDrop on, because I am about to take the very special WonderCon selfie with everybody on the panel. They are going to be giving a little signature. We're going to AirDrop it to you. So technology is a thing that is happening, and what we're hoping is that you guys are going to be so pumped about what you've seen and heard, and you're just going to be so amped up with all the drama and terror that we talk about, that you're going to tweet out hashtag DarkPhoenix, and I'll get you to start throwing things, and also X-Men movies on every platform. Instagram, you guys know the deal, right? Okay? Can I get a yes out of you? Woo! Okay, so they're gonna bring the selfie stick to me. I have my very special. He does not want to be out on stage, by the way. So we're all gonna gather down there around Cody. We're gonna rally, we're gonna do one big hug.
Rally around him.
Nope.
Hi.
And by the way, if you wanted to stop being polite and start standing up, you could end up in this. All right. So, thank you. This is always fascinating when you're checking out all our butts. Enjoy it while you can. I'm going to back up. I'm going to get obnoxiously close to you. And we're going to get more of the audio. Okay, great. Oh my God, look at my selfie arm. This is captivating. Yay! I'm taking 18, so there are plenty to choose from. And we've got it. You guys are really patient and amazing. And you're going to get this airdrop to you, courtesy of 20th Century Fox. If you have an iPhone, and for Android users, turn to the person next to you, make best friends with them. And at the end of the day, we have wrapped up this panel. You guys got this amazing first look at Dark Phoenix. Please spread the word on social media because these days it's super important. I'm going to say June 7th one more time, and then I'm going to say thank you so much. I am Ms. Movie Bob, and
So that's the panel. We're real proud of Ms. Movie Phone. Great, yeah. Drake. She did a great
very
job.
Proud.
And the panel itself was awesome. It was really neat to see Sophie Turner up close, you know, watching her on Game of Thrones all the time. So that was kind of a neat experience.
Yeah.
Also, we wanted to say we had a great first day.
Yeah.
At WonderCon. Thank you to Jeff Aniston again from Legion M. Check them out. April Wallin, next Elvira.
Yeah.
Check her stuff out. Ms. Movie Phone.
Great Drake.
And keep up with Dark Phoenix. That's just about finished. It's ready.
So they had June, right?
Yeah, they said that they were just finishing up some effect shots. So that's pretty exciting stuff there. Follow us on Instagram, Night of Living Podcast. See all Andy's great photographs. And Mikey?
Yeah.
You said this versus Comic-Con.
Well, so, just out of curiosity, real quick, yeah. This is your first, both of you guys' first MegaCon, right? Like, this is a big convention.
I mean, well, I've been to Gen Con, but not when it was...
Not when it was the massive.
I went to it when it was like a Milwaukee show and it was small.
Okay.
So this show is much bigger than like what we're accustomed to.
When we went to Gen Con, it was mostly game playing. We didn't like walk around the floor or anything like that. So it was like more intimate, our experience at Gen Con. Mm-hmm. So this is totally different, type of beast.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah.
Especially the Twilight Zone panel, which I'm really hoping we can get into.
Right. And I'm hearing this is the first WonderCon history that WonderCon has sold out for tomorrow. So Carl's will be a little bit heavier. But WonderCon is actually a sister con. It's thrown by the same people that do Comic-Con. And I'll definitely say this is a much more laid-back version of Comic-Con. Still a really big show floor, lots of stuff to see. Lots of specialty stuff out there, but definitely a laid-back convention. You're not, like, camping out for panels. We were able to walk to the Dark Phoenix panel, which is probably the big show for today. It was the Dark Phoenix.
Well, I want to give a shout-out to Rachel and Caroline.
Yeah, absolutely, and also Robert.
Robert, they're helping us out in the press room.
Yes.
And even, like, Caroline said that she's been attending Comic-Con since the very beginning, probably.
The volunteers are awesome. Yeah. They're definitely fans. They're of all ages.
Yes.
Which is really cool. We met some on the elevator. She had a little homemade Groot pin that her friend made from plywood, I think she said. So there's just like crafty people all around and you can great tell. Cosplay. Yeah.
This one is definitely about the fans and the fandom. Like you're not seeing... I didn't see... Like, Comic-Con, one of the things people don't like about it is, like, there's so many people that are there trying to turn over merchandise and whatnot. You're not seeing that here. There's not that kind of frenzy here, which is really appreciated.
It's fine. Like, a real quick entourage story of, like, before the con opened, we thought we could be trampled. Because we were all, like, you know, bunched up by their doors that weren't open yet.
Yeah.
And some people just started opening doors and going in.
There was one guy who just kept resting his hand on the handles, and then he would go up and down and try every door.
Yeah.
And he was an older guy.
He did eventually get in before the con opened, so they, at least 100 people got in. Security had us to, cow herd these people out again. And like literally 2 minutes later, it opened.
And it doesn't help that there's a guy who is cosplaying as a SWAT team member right next to the doors.
Yes.
So like he is not a SWAT team. I actually thought he was a legit guy at first when I saw him. Yeah. So I was like, well, they're just going to kill everybody
and
now.
Great cosplay here.
it's the best I've seen.
Yeah. I think that this would be a if you were a cosplayer, this would be a great place to do that because it's a little bit more laid back and have to worry about the Comic-Con frenzies.
And I can't emphasize enough, go to Instagram. You can search the hashtags for this show or WCA 2019. Either of those should work. And follow us, Night of the Living Podcast. Andy, like I said, he's getting some really cool photos.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks so much.
And don't forget on Facebook and Twitter, too.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter, NOTLP.
It's the same shit. It's cross-platform.
Yeah, you'll find it. It's you're going to find the same stuff. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. We will return tomorrow with more coverage.
Woohoo! Severed human.
streets of London on four legs, while high above him, Ellen Ripley finds some funny eggs, and Freddy laughs at Nancy in her nightmares as she begs to have just one more moment with her friends. In a world where evil isn't always just pretend, and it seems as though the darkness never ends, give me lots of popcorn and some time that with my friends. To watch some monster movies with my friends.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.